This week's edition of the Arizona Media Podcast, where we go one-on-one with a member of the media. It could be print, could be digital, could be television, could be radio. This week, we bring in Bruce Cooper, sports director at KPNX, Channel 12, someone that I have never heard anybody anywhere in a business that is full of cattiness and talking behind people's backs say anything bad about Bruce Cooper. He's one of the nicest human beings. He's a true professional. And he's been through a lot. He's just going through knee replacement surgery. Actually, not right now going through it. He went through it about a week or two ago. Right, Bruce?
That would be correct, Brad, about 2.5 weeks ago. Hey, thanks for that little plug there. I'll make sure that I shouldn't put the check in the mail for you there.
Yeah, that's what I like to hear. How many years for you now at Channel 12?
Brad, this is 30.
Wow.
You know, I actually started in 1986, so in April it'll be 31, believe it or not. 31 in April.
All right, so
we're in April.
Yeah, we're in April. I was just going to fill you in on that. Are you on painkillers for your knee there, Bruce? Is that how this is going? We're taping this on the 6th of April at 9:30 in the morning. So do you remember which day in April?
Yeah, I believe it's April 16th. April 16th. So in about 10 days, I will be 31 years. My goodness, I'm old.
All right. How did you come upon being hired at Channel 12? What was your initial job?
Well, I was actually an intern, and you know, they were pretty much impressed with my work ethic, so they actually created a second opportunity for me to do a second consecutive internship there. And at the conclusion of that, they were under the impression that they couldn't lose me, so they actually created a little part-time job for me. So I became an editor, and from being a part-time editor, here we are 31 years later. I'm still at the same place. How about that?
And so you were at Arizona State, right?
Correct.
You graduated from ASU, and was it known as Cronkite School then or not? Was it just broadcast school?
Yes, it was Walter Cronkite School, but Brad, things were so different then than they are right now. I remember doing projects at the Walter Cronkite School. It was actually called Stauffer Hall. It was actually on campus of Arizona State in Tempe. And I remember doing projects there, and then I'd go do my internship at Channel 12, and the resources or the technology, it just was just so antiquated. It wasn't even applicable to what they were doing at Channel 12 or in the TV business. But I want to tell you, today, Brad, it is scary. I mean, these interns, these kids at Arizona State University, Walter Cronkite School, I mean, they have resources that would make TV stations blush and even major markets. Their resources are on par. And the amazing thing, Brad, is these kids are being taught so well, because there are times when they come into our shop and they're teaching me things on the in terms of editing and different things. I mean, social media has really opened up a lot of things, and these young kids, they have it down, and they can, like I said, they're teaching me, and their poise and their articulation when you see them do their projects, their stories, the things that they do for us, it's just incredible. Matter of fact, I tell these kids all the time, I wasn't even close to being in your neighborhood in terms of the poise and polish that you guys deliver. I mean, I'm actually proud of what they're doing over there at Arizona State, and these kids are terrific. Matter of fact, we've hired like four or five of them a year or two after graduation, because they're just that good.
Yeah, I adjunct over there last fall, and I'm sitting in front of 46 students, and exactly what you said. It's wow, these guys are. It's two things. There's a group of them that are so far advanced, and then there's the other group that just wants to be on television, and you want to sit down with them and say you might want to go into another field. So and you don't want to burst someone's dreams, but there's more talent over there than not, and it's not that the others aren't talented. I just don't think they know how hard it is to work in media in this day and age, especially at the local television level. Do you find that in interns where they come in all excited and they start to see that it's not just showing up and putting on some makeup at 4:30 in the afternoon. It is showing up at 10 a.m. in the morning at the Cardinals and being on the air at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, Brad, you can spot the kids who really want it and the kids who are living a pipe dream where they think that they show up and the job's going to be handed to them. The kids who really want it, there's a commitment that they put in. I mean, it's long hours, it's early hours, it's extended hours. It's not making the excuse that I have to do this or I have to do this or, hey, I'm going here, I can't do it this week. You can spot the difference right away. And a lot of these kids know that they're going to have to go to a smaller market and work their way up, but they are determined and yet to do that. And so they put in the work. I tell those kids that I spot immediately, I tell them, hey, if you want to use me for a reference, go right ahead. And mm-hmm. and I'll be more than happy to speak on your behalf or write on your behalf because, I mean, I was there once, and I can see the unparalleled enthusiasm and the unparalleled work ethic that they're bringing to the table. And so I'm more than happy to be a help in that regard.
Bruce Cooper is with us on the Arizona Media Podcast. Through 30 years, did you ever feel as though your contract was not going to be renewed? Did you ever have times where you felt like, I'm going to have to leave the market that I've been in all my life?
Oh, absolutely, Brad. There were times when frustration would grow. You know, I'll tell you what. One of the things that was very prevalent in my early years in the business is that consultants would come in, mm-hmm. and the consultants would give you their input relative to how TV should be structured, how sports news and weather should be done, and oftentimes, it left me really frustrated to the point to where I'm like, this is not fun. They're taking the fun, they're taking the passion out of this game, this industry for me. I want out. I want to leave. And so you find yourself, you know, searching for other opportunities. But you know, but before that next job could always land, there was something that turned, and we were back to going to the way I would prefer things being done. And that's all I ask. I mean, as I look today, Brad, I'll have to say that there's probably more frustration than joy in my job than I do today. And again, it's because, you know, we have our people or consultants telling us that we're not really interested in you showing the highlights of a game, or we're not interested in all the X's and O's relative to the game. You know, people are getting that on different apps. You know, they got apps that they can come to and they can see all these games, all these highlights. We want to differentiate. We want to be different. Hey, let's find ourselves doing more feature stories. You know, stories that they can't find on their apps, stories that they can't find anywhere else but on our shop. And so, In a market in which you're one of 13 in the nation that houses all four professional sports, and as well as major college sports, I mean, it gets a little frustrating that there's no interest in really covering them. I'd rather you go out and show me, let's say, a little 13-year-old who's a champion chess guy who has won all over the country. He's coming back from, look, those are nice stories, but I mean, look, not in lieu of what we have relative to the professional market that we find ourselves in. I think there's a way to do both, but there right. seems like there's not a lot of compromise.
Bruce, what's interesting is when you bring that up is I think that the balance that you're talking about, I try to put myself in that person's shoes, and I keep going back to that's why I'm sitting here doing what I'm doing, because I faced the same thing when I was over at Channel 3. My view on it was, okay, so there's five TV stations here in Arizona. There's the NFL Network. There's ESPN. There's all of these different places, and they're all doing the Cardinals all day and all night long because it shows that there's the most interest in the NFL. I understand that, but I think that there's a saturation point. And that you've got to pay attention to other other teams too, and other stories, the local stories, which you've done an excellent job of. Channel 12 has been a leader on the high school front through the years. Where I feel like the storytelling is, do you go out to the field that is being dedicated because a Cardinal is there and you're going to get a soundbite from them saying this is really great and it's really cool to give back to the community? Or do you go to the Minute 10 feature on the kid over at Mesa High School who's overcome adversity in life? And I would come down more often than not to go do the high school piece because I just think we should not be dictated by one league to go do every single last story around them. Am I wrong in that approach?
No, you're not. Like I said, Brad, there's a way to do both. But the part that hurts me a lot is when they want to tell me, no one watches the Coyotes. Why do you want to go do something with Shane Doan or something like this? Or the Diamondbacks, they're not too good or anything right now. So anyway, let's stick with the hot button topics and things. And so that's my frustration. Look, I'm not here to cover the most popular thing. I'm here to cover sports.
Yep.
And sports involves everything from high school to college to pro. And even that little peewee Pop Warner kid or whatever the case may be, it encompasses all of that. I don't like being told that, this is what's trending, this is what's most popular, so let's do that and do that only. That drives me crazy, man.
No, and it's pervasive that it's out there. And I feel as though what I see in Valley Media is, yes, we do have all the majors, and we do you do the best that you can do. I do the best that I can do. I feel like the college is what has got squeezed out quite a bit in terms of coverage. When I hear the college say, well, we're a pro sports town, we're never going to be a college town, my response to that is you might want to try winning every now and then and getting to the Rose Bowl rather than the Alamo Bowl, or that'd even be a good bowl, getting to El Paso or San Diego. You know, I think that Arizona State has used that as a crutch, quite frankly, in complaining that we do not cover them enough. Give us a reason to do something more than the Vegas Bowl or the San Francisco Bowl. And, you know, if you had a Jake Plummer type team here that goes to a Rose Bowl every now and then, you'd probably get more attention.
Well, that's just it, Brad. I mean, look, our leaders they watch the one-loss record. If you're winning, if you're a playoff team, if you're going somewhere, all of a sudden, you know, they can't cover you enough, regardless of the fact that they may have ignored you early on during the season. But, man, when it's getting to that postseason time and you're right in the thick of it, they put all the chips in the middle.
Right.
And that's what I find a little contradictory. But it just is what it is. And so I'd rather have that than not have it at all, you know. So you're absolutely right. Winning certainly creates momentum, it creates excitement, it creates a buzz, and our TV leaders are all about the buzz and the excitement, and so that's where that's when they will relax their rules, if you will.
But I do think, Bruce, you and I are like-minded in this approach, and that is we should be covering everybody regardless of one loss record. It's just we're not going to go over the top about it. When I hear sports teams complain that people don't show up in our industry to cover them, you know, we do the best that we can do, but you guys can't just put slop out on the field. I'm wondering if you've had, let me put it to you this way, blow up that you've had with a sports owner in the Valley, the last one that you've had.
Repeat that last part, Brad, I missed that.
Who's the last blow up that you've had with in the sports scene in Arizona? Who'd you have a blow up with? An owner, player?
Well, you know, I tell you what, Robert Sarver was Suns owner. Gave me a call, very critical, very upset at something I had written and said about breaking up the Amari Stoudemire, Steve Nash situation. He was under the impression that I was just talking off the top of my head, that I was saying things I couldn't substantiate. But once I let him know that I actually talked to the horse himself, Amari Stoudemire, and I gave him dialogue that me and Amari had, then he realized that what I was saying did have some merit and validation to it. So he kind of backed up a little bit and just wanted to let me know that it was a situation where his medical team was really the impetus in him jettisoning Amari off, and it wasn't a financial or money situation. And but I tell you, Brad, I've also had a situation with Randy Johnson. You know, Randy Johnson is not a guy that I just always felt that he had something impersonal against me. I couldn't figure it out. I mean, here's a guy who had won 4 Cy Youngs, was a coach. World Series MVP. There was nothing bad you could ever say about Randy Johnson or the Diamondbacks because they were the bee's knees at that point in time. But it just seems like he always had something against me, and I just had a difficult time with him during his playing days. But when he was getting ready for the Hall of Fame, you know, we had set up an interview where I would go interview him relative to his induction. I was a little leery in about stepping in and doing this because I knew the relationship that we had had. But I'm going to tell you something. It was like a complete 180. It was like,
right.
I was like, we were like best of friends. I mean, he was so effusive in his praise of the media and the job that we've done and helping him do that. I'm like, dude, I don't even recognize you. So yeah, I've had a few, but not many, but I've had a couple, and those are two that stand out.
Flip it around then. Your athlete that you've enjoyed covering the most through 30 years.
That would have to be one Charles Barkley. You know, we just so happened to have his TV show during his time and tenure with the Phoenix Suns. And you learn so much about him. You see a different side of him that, you know, you never saw before just because you're working with him and you see his personality. I mean, the guy is genuinely a terrifically nice guy with a big heart. I will tell you this, that when the Suns were on the road in the playoffs, you know, I remember up in Portland once, Charles invited myself and Kevin McCabe to hang out with his posse and Kevin McCabe worked at TV Sports at Channel 10.
Channel 10, yeah.
Yeah, and invited us to go out on a night partying with him. And everywhere we went, we walked into probably 4 or 5 different bars. And when we walk in, you can just feel all the eyes just looking in your direction because people realize it's Charles Barkley. And so we would go sit down at the table, stuff like that. And then every place we went, there was always one brave soul that would come up and ask for an autograph. And Charles would say yes. And he'd sign them. Next thing you know, there's a huge line. Yeah. And Charles, every spot, would buy a round of drinks for everyone, and we'd leave and go to the next bar. It was really amazing. I remember during some All-Star game festivities that were in Phoenix, no matter where we went, because we had special shows specials that we had to do in and around his show when it got to the All-Star game. I mean, there's Larry Bird, there's Magic Johnson, there's Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, the biggest names in basketball, all at these All-Star games. You have the East practice, the West practice, and you know, the fans are going crazy. They want these players to stop and share, but the players, they all go to the bus to be taken back to the hotel, except for Charles Barkley. Barkley would come over to the railing, and, you know, security would get a little nervous to see him do this stuff. He'd take off a shoe, sign it, throw it up in the crowd, take off his other shoe, do the same thing. And then everybody's coming. He's signing autographs and taking pictures with everyone. It was just amazing. Here's a superstar who actually got it. And I'll tell you something. We would need material for his show, and so we'd have to we'll wait until he can finish up all his interviews. And I mean, even the foreign media, I'm like, I know darn well Charles doesn't speak that language, but he gives everyone his time. And it was just amazing to see this guy who, when he was being traded from Philadelphia to Phoenix, all I heard about was a guy that had this, explosive personality. He might be throwing guys through plate glass windows. He may be doing this. He may be doing that. That was the impression I had of Charles, that, boy, this guy could be difficult to deal with. But it was the furthest thing from the truth. I've never seen. He's one of the very few superstars who get it.
When we're talking with Bruce Cooper, those are great antidotes. Bruce, I'm just wondering, you have such an infectious smile, personality. People mimic you, which is an ultimate sign of respect. You know, your laugh. Where did that come from?
Brad, I can't begin to tell you. It's just me. You know, I'll tell you this. I do. I do enjoy people. I enjoy being around people. One of my greatest joys in doing sports is watching the reaction of fans, seeing their, and this is why I really enjoy high school athletics. I mean, there's nothing corporate about their cheers. There's nothing false or phony about it. I mean, it is pure passion. It's pure joy. I mean, whether the good times or the bad, I mean, parents, student body, alumni, they really, really get into it. And so I enjoy that aspect of it. And it gives me a rush, to be honest with you. It really does. And so that's why I'm always around the high school kids. I enjoy what that enthusiasm and that infectious, unbridled passion brings. And so I think that probably helps define my personality, because I just enjoy being around people, being around good times, being around even the sad times when there's the tears of defeat, you know. Mm-hmm. Look, we've all been there, and it's just a great surrounding, great environment for me.
It's interesting to me because, you know, I've seen you and gotten to know you through the years, and people may not know the backstory of what you've gone through. You've had the heart attack. You lost your son. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've had more than anybody could imagine on a lot of levels. And yet, whenever people talk about Bruce Cooper, it's always like, that guy, he's always so happy. How do you work through the stuff that you've been through and process it and yet be on television and have such an infectious smile and personality? How do you do that?
Well, first of all, let me just say the loss of my son was the most difficult thing I've ever had to endure in my life. I can't see anything ever rivaling that. It was just it was a first for me. And I just, all I could do is I could just thank God for the people that he placed in my life to help me through the situation. What I tried my best to do is to not show my emotions outwardly. Mm-hmm. Even though I was being pained and wrecked inside, you know, I had a wife and I had a daughter that needed to see strength and leadership. And the last thing I felt I could do was to show the pain that was really wrecking with me, and then to exacerbate the whole situation. My wife went through a suicidal stage, so it was a very, very difficult time. I worried about my daughter. Because she was going back to school and you just didn't know what was going to take place, and so all you could do with Brad is rely on your faith. You know, you get on your knees and you pray and you ask for, you know, deliverance. You ask for peace. You ask for guidance, and then there's you'll find that the Lord places people in your life that really impact you and can really help you deal with the situation. My own personal heart attack situation, look, I can't tell you what it's like to suffer a massive heart attack. I mm-hmm. can't tell you what it's like to die. I died twice, was brought back twice via a defibrillator. The second time, first time in the field, second time out, in the second time in the hospital. So I was medically induced into a coma for 3 days. I had no knowledge of any of this. I can't tell you what it's like to do it. So all I can tell you is that God was very good to me because after an open heart triple bypass surgery, you know, I was not in any pain. My recovery was just so fast. It was even funny. Within 2 weeks, I felt like I didn't go back to work. I feel normal again. Hmm. And that's certainly atypical, but that's just how God was working in my life. And so it's easy to smile and easy to show joy when you know that God's showing favor on you and he's smiling on you. So I'm just grateful for the things that have come, and that's the good and the bad.
What have you eliminated after the heart attack? What do you no longer do?
Oh, right. Brad, you don't find me eating fried foods. You don't find me eating red meats. I was pretty good at. I'm very, very good at eliminating sugar totally. But I've started to introduce that into my life. But again, but on a very limited basis. So those are the things that I've done to stay on top of it. You know, the doctors have told me what I need to do. And look, I want to do my part in hanging around and being here as long as I can for my family. And so it seemed like a very difficult sacrifice to try to make in the beginning because my body has been so used to eating certain foods. But it's amazing that once you stick with it and get by that initial. There's always an initial part of it that's so tough to deal with. But once you get it out of your system, Brad, it really becomes easy. I mean, I find myself going to different restaurants now that I never thought I would go to. You know, the fast foods are you don't find me there. You know, it's just I'm always asking for something that's grilled or baked or fish, turkey, chicken. I mean, I just don't divert from those things really.
When you're consuming sports media here in the Valley, who do you like to read, listen to, watch?
Yeah, from a local based standpoint.
Yeah. When you're here in the Valley, who do you read or who do you enjoy listening to or watching and consuming media? A couple people.
Well, Brad, I tell you what, I do read Dan Bickley a lot, and Dan's one of those guys who, you know. You either agree with him or you don't. There's very, very seldom is there a middle road with him. But I think that's good. It can elicit different opinions, different conversations, and things of that nature. And to be honest with you, I do watch and listen to everyone. Mm-hmm. Brad, I've always admired you, even in your days back at KTAR. You have a wealth of knowledge. I mean, I think one of the things that stands out about you is your interviewing skills. I mean, you are on point with everything.
Well, I don't know about that. You and I are still going here, Bruce. So easy, tap the brakes. I don't know about that.
No, but I'm serious. I've always enjoyed. So look, I do
Thank
watch
you.
And listen from to everybody that's local. And I never get to a situation where I never ever found myself in a situation where oh, that guy's terrible. I respect everyone in the media and the job that they do. There's lots of times I don't agree with their opinions, but then I'm sure that my opinion, since I don't agree with their opinion, then they wouldn't agree with mine on that particular topic. But I think that's all good, you know. I think that everyone in the marketplace does a very good job. You won't find me being critical of anyone because I think that they're all on point.
Okay, we have about a minute left, and what do you want to do? Where are you going to be in 5 years? What events do you want to cover, or where do you think life is taking you as a sportscaster in Phoenix, Arizona?
Well, Brad, after 30 years in the industry, I tell you what I do look forward to, and I think this will happen within the next 5 years. I look forward to not working nights, not working weekends, not working holidays, just almost having almost like a normal 9-to-5, you know, something that's that gives me more family time. I have spent so much time away from family during, you know, holiday periods and celebration periods that, you know, as you know, in TV, there's four rating books, and you just can't even get away during those times. Those are no times. And yet there are also times in which, you know, maybe family or graduations are taking place in May or in November, you know. So it's always difficult, but we've managed. You know, you have family that understands, but at the same time you miss out on some really nice situations. So as I'm winding down my career, I would certainly like to find something that I'll call normal, even though in TV you know that this is normal. But I like to find something a little more normal, a little more 9-to-5 that gave me the nights, weekends, and holidays free.
That's Bruce Cooper, KPNX. You can see him, the NBC station. He does an awful lot of work and an awful lot of good work. Coop, thanks for being with us.
Hey, Brad, it's my pleasure. Always good talking to you, my friend.
It's the Arizona Media Podcast for this week.